CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstead Show, the show where we talk about comics.
Yeah, 101.9.
Why are we
cable.
Wearing headphones?
Why are we wearing headphones? So you can actually hear what you sound like, Colin.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile, Colin's sitting a foot away from the microphone, so he doesn't know what he sounds like. Don has his headphones on, and he knows what he sounds like.
Exactly.
He sounds like vanilla butter.
Yeah.
More like vanilla ice.
Oh, smooth. Thank you to the We All Fall Down Muriel for the lovely intro to the show.
The lovely Muriel.
I'm holding something up for you. You see that? You see that? Does she see it? No, she's not seeing it yet.
Okay, I put it away. It's okay.
I'm so close
now
to
now she's looking at me mean. Oh, she's picking her nose.
You hurt her feelings. I'm sitting so close to the microphone, my glasses are banging on it.
Oh, well, that can be a problem.
Yeah. Is that too close?
As long as we can't hear you breathing, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And there we go. Now we can't hear Colin.
Hey.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get into it. CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstead Show, the show where we talk about comics. And normally, okay, Colin, you don't need to make gummy noises to the thing. Put your teeth back in. And normally we have guests on, incredible talented guests, and we talk about their incredible comics. Recently we have Jeff Smith, Shannon O'Leary,
Danny Eichhorn.
Danny Eichhorn, oh man, that guy was great. Tons of people. And, you know, I thought, let's take a week off and actually talk about comics.
That's what we're for. We're going to tell people about all the best comics that have come out in the last year that we think are worth talking about.
Yeah. With a focus on the more recent stuff because, well, you know, we did do some shows last year about what we've liked recently.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a little bit of crossover, but if you didn't miss the show back then, I'm sure you're just going to get it now. So, anyway, move along.
Moving on along. That song was Little Richard off of Funk in Your Face. I was mentioning this in the Jeff Smith interview. It's the best funk compilation I have because of the great Little Richard song, Money Is. And, you know, that is a fabulous song. Mm-hmm. Money, money, money. Money on my mind. Okay, so, boys, has it been a good year for comics?
Yes.
Colin?
I think it's getting better all the time.
Yeah, it's personally. Amazing. Yeah, and you know what? That's good. Because for years it wasn't getting any better, and now I think it is.
We got some interesting younger talent showing up, but I think perhaps even more important for me is just the penetration that comics, as graphic novels, are getting into bookstores, and the press, and the reviews and the notice in the mainstream press of comics and graphic novels is increasing.
Yeah, I mean, you still occasionally get the zowie. Pow,
yeah,
wham.
Comics aren't for kids.
They're not
anymore.
For kids anymore.
Which I'm sick of hearing.
Yeah, well,
I'm really sick
I was
of,
sick of that.
I was sick of that 20 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, so was I. Exactly. And so now it's actually like maybe they've stopped saying that, but now we're just
and we're continuing
seeing
it.
Good comics. You know,
let's just talk about the great comics. We're not going to go into
the schwang.
I don't want to get into too much of the exploration.
Yeah,
of
blah
comics.
Blah. Yeah, yeah.
There's some great. Let's just talk about some great comics, and I'll start it out with an SBX. I picked up this great mini comic with the worst feeling cover in the world. They did like a silkscreen cover, and we're all touching like this is a great looking comic, but I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, it feels like the ink's gonna rub off on your fingers when you pick it up.
It feels like something's rubbing me.
It's
a flotation device,
frog skin or something.
What kind of frog skin? And it's a great comic. Flotation device number 11. It's just a mini comic of this guy talking about his experience with minis, and we're getting into minis. And the neat thing is he writes it, and here's some of the artists that are in it doing art. Gabriel Bell, who will be on the show in a couple of weeks. Kevin Huizenga, who I am a fanatic fan of.
Curses.
Curses is a beautiful book. And actually, we'll talk a little bit about Curses later. You've read it, right, Colin?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. John Porcellino, who's at King Cat Collections, will start coming out from Drawing Quarterly within the next couple months.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Is that complete collection?
Yeah, like or
it's not complete, but it's like...
It's like the best of King Cat.
Like 400 page.
From the first 50 adventures. Issues, which you can't get. You can't even get them from him anymore. So,
cool. Anders Nilsson, who I am a huge fan of. I'm going to talk about one of... I've already gone on about how great... Don't Go Where I Can't Follow is. So I'm going to talk about his follow-up to that at the end. His Ignatz book from Coconino Press.
Mm-hmm. The Fantagraphics imprint that's putting out some fantastic European stuff.
Some fantastic European. Now, Anders is not European, mm-hmm. even though his name sounds European.
Yeah, same with Kevin Huizenga.
Huizenga.
Okay.
So, flotation device, I picked it up at the Buenaventura press table, and I've actually got a couple other things I picked up at that table I'm going to talk about, which is fabulous stuff, and I think you can get this stuff online. And Buenaventura Press, Elvin Buenaventura, mm-hmm. is really making a name for himself for putting out fantastic books. Mm-hmm. He did the
a couple things that they put out are actually on my list for my favorite things that came out this last year.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of stuff, but what they do is quality, and they also have stuff. They you can get minis from other people through their website. Mm-hmm. So I picked out the flotation device. I saw that and like, I'll never see this again. This looks awesome. And like Gabriel Bell, I'm a huge fan of. Dylan Horrocks is in here. He's awesome. On Smith is awesome. It's all good. I also picked up a bunch of mini comics by Kevin Huizenga, really odd ones of like him doing like notes at church and stuff and character designs. And it's really neat. They're all like $1, $1.50. And I got a set for myself and a set for one of my friends in town who's a huge fan of Huizenga, who like when I gave him the stack of stuff, gave me a big hug.
Wow.
As well.
You didn't have to sleep with him, did you?
I hope not.
Okay. Didn't have to.
Yeah. Anyway.
And another thing, actually, Kevin Huizenga thing that was at SPX, if you can get it, is the cartoon school for cartoon studies.
Yeah, the school for cartoon studies.
Yeah, the one called. That James Sturm did. Their little advertisement. It's a nice comic book by Kevin Huizenga with all sorts of neat.
Well, that's profiled in the New Comics Journal.
Yeah, I've
got it home. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's
Seth.
And it was free. They had stacks of them.
Yeah, Seth did a bunch of advertisements that they're giving out at Abe too. Yeah. Like that.
So Kevin is their new guy. And because you know Seth is a old timey.
Yeah, actually, I was going to mention. Alvin Buenaventura puts out some fantastic books, and one of them is that's really awesome that came out in the last year is the In the Studio book. It is absolutely stunning. It's this big hardcover. And it goes into the studio of some of the best cartoonists of the last, like, 30 or 40 years. So you actually go into Robert Crumb's studio, and he shows you the stuff that inspired him and things he's working on. And it goes into, like, even people that you don't see a lot of anymore or you don't read a lot of, like, in-depth stuff about, like, Gary Panter, Charles Burns, Chris Ware. Some of them are a little bit more prolific.
The Ware stuff is really great. It's, like, anything I could read about that guy, I'm going to read.
Jaime Hernandez. And, you know, like, just there's the whole... Art Spiegelman, Robert Crumb, I think I mentioned.
Yeah, Robert Crumb. It's basically the Pantheon.
Yeah.
That was originally released in Comic Art
Magazine. Some of them were in Comic Art Magazine.
Which is now released by Buenaventura Press.
Yeah.
But this book was put out by Yale Press. And some of you may have heard they have a school somewhere in the United States.
Yale.
I think smart people go there.
Yeah.
And dumb people.
Yeah.
George Bush.
Yeah. Yeah, but the one thing I was going to mention, it's like the
Brunetti's in there.
Yeah. The In the Studio book was like we were saying, like a lot of the excerpts are interviews and things from Comic Art Magazine, and the Comic Art Magazine number 8 came out this year, and it was the best one they put out so far. And it profiled, like, it had articles on Wally Wood. It had a complete history of Drew Friedman. Drew Friedman's comics work.
I've blossomed recently. My love for Drew Friedman's really launched mm-hmm. with his old comedians book that came
out. Jewish comedians,
It's gorgeous. And you know, they did a launch for it at one of the monks things, and I think in LA. And like all the old guys were there.
Yeah.
And like they're loving it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's, I really like.
It was like a roast for the book or something.
Yeah, but like that Comic Art Magazine, like it's got a wide range of stuff. Like issue 8 that came out this year. What the hell is that? Anyway, issue 8 that came out this year. It had it also had a profile on Jim Starlin's Warlock comics, and it had a whole thing on Richard McGuire, who did a lot of things for Raw.
And
it
I remember
fantastic.
That McGuire piece in there. And it's one of the most experimental comics.
Yeah,
and you remember it. It is incredible. They really like it. It reformats the page. It takes a look, and the guy cuts up a living room scene into several different levels, so you can kind of see different things, and you can see how, like, Chris Ware read that, and he was just like, holy crap.
Yeah, you can transcend time with comics. It's just fantastic. It's a nice little playing around with, like, the form of comics. Also, the issue 8, it came with a mini book. It was like Seth...
40 books
that Seth found in bookstores that you ought to look for cheap in a used bookstore,
which you'll never find because Seth bought them.
Yeah, he bought them all, but it's just like a great little pamphlet of like crap to look for that you might not have ever heard of. I'd really love the magazine. I think it's fantastic.
But I think Colin actually has some stuff in that book too, don't you, Colin?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Little Seth thing, the 40 Seth, obscure books.
The little Seth book that came with the comic art magazine. Did you not get that one?
No.
Oh, you gotta get that.
I don't have any money.
Oh, okay. Okay, Colin's got no money. Okay, we'll move on.
But he does have a kidney up for sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Colin, speaking of Colin, what's something you've gotten recently that's just been like filling your pants with joy? Poops of joy.
Well, I'm not sure if this counts, but... I just wanted to mention that the first Lat book has been published in North America.
Yeah.
I have the original Lat Camp Young Boy, which Roberta Gregory actually picked it up for me in the Philippines. It hasn't been available here before. Mm-hmm. Now, Lat is a Malaysian cartoonist who basically does everything. He does stories. He does autobiography. He does political cartoons. You can read his comics. Most of them are in English, but some of them are in Malay. Mm-hmm. They're now being published in North America. The first one is Camp Young Boy, which is a charming reminiscence of his life growing up in a small village in Malaysia. And it's drawn in this sort of, I don't know, perhaps Sergio Aragona's would be close comparison to the art style. It's very
I wouldn't say Sergio. There's something else, and yeah. I can't think of who it is right now, but it will jump out to me in a bit.
It actually reminds me a little bit of like Al Jaffe or somebody like that. One of the mad guys.
Well, Sergio's, you know? On that.
Yeah, it's got a wonderful manic energy to it.
Yeah, a little bit. Some of it reminds me a little bit of Joe Sacco too.
Mm-hmm. So, like I say, the first issue has come out. I saw it at RX. I don't know exactly what the plans are to publish more, but I recommend everybody should go out and find this, because I remember back in 1992, I went to France, you know, where they have all the fancy schmancy comic books, and I was staying with this French couple, and they were comic book people, and they had comic books and graphic novels, but the thing that really caught my eye were these books by Lat that they had. I was sitting here in France reading books from a guy in Malaysia.
Actually, since you mentioned overseas stuff that's finally seeing print in North America, the one book that came out last year that I absolutely loved and recommended was the Tatsumi book, The Abandoned...
Abandon the Old in Tokyo.
Yeah, Abandon the Old in Tokyo is the second volume that Drawn and Quarterly's come out of about the... it's just all the... It's
1970.
Like it's all the short stories of Yoshihiro Tatsumi.
Who is considered to be the first Japanese manga artist to actually do stories for an adult audience.
Yeah, and they're fantastic stories. They're a little bit depressing sometimes.
They're amazingly grim, you mean.
But
they're wonderful.
But they're bloody good. And the second volume's come out, and actually in the brand new Comics Journal that came out yesterday, they actually have an interview with him.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be...
Now, what's the interview by Tomine?
I have no idea. I didn't actually check on
that. I believe he's doing the translations.
Adrian Tomine is his, I guess... I
official translator.
Not his, I don't know, his patron, his North American patron, almost.
His major domo.
On that note, I'm going to play another song. I'm going to play some more funk, because it's the funk day on the Ink Studs.
Get the funk out.
We're feeling funky, are we?
Yeah.
Well, something's smelling funky on me, so let's keep it going.
Boring and humdrum, everyone. tried everything and nothing turned me on. They offered nothing new for me. Went to a disco function at the junction. You came along to fuckify my life.
Thank you for funking up our lives.
Disco fever.
It's not disco, it's funk.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on. But there's some, Robin, were there some comics that came out in the last year that you were really big on?
That I was big on?
Yeah, let's hear it.
You really want to hear what I think? Anders Nilsson, I'm going to say again, this man is one of the futures in comics.
I don't get it.
Colin.
I don't really get it either.
You know what? Read this. Read the first half of this. Read Don't Go Where I Can Follow. Read Dogs and Water. Read these comics.
Mm-hmm. I've read some of his work, mostly in anthologies.
You see, you've read some of it. He's got two different styles. The end is an amalgamation of both. He's got his very fluid, very well-rendered style. Then he's got his weird cubic model, internal dialogue monologues.
I'm actually interested in reading that Don't Go Where I Can't Follow. The autobiographical
it's,
one.
It's heartbreaking. This man does some of the saddest stuff. It's true. But it's beautiful. He captures in one image that like really a lot of comic artists can't do in their life as far as evoking an emotion. And I really think his latest thing, I was really looking forward to it. And I wasn't sad, like disappointed. I was saddened because it's, you know, it's a sad book. Mm-hmm. But the end, as we're talking before, the Ignatz Coconino Press, it's just like, it's sliced. He does weird kind of sketchbooky stuff, but it's just like, it's just. I don't know how to describe it. It's fabulous. And I think Anders is really going to break through. I think once he. I don't know. I see his next book to be one of those things that's just going to, like, you know, really blow people away.
Yeah.
I can see some people holding off on Don't Go Where I Can't Follow because it is so sad.
Well, sad doesn't bother me as long as it's well done, and it sounds like it really is. So
it is, and like it was probably my favorite purchase at SPX, and I am happy I own it.
Yeah, Bougie said the same thing.
Yeah, well, he read it at the airport.
Yeah,
we were sitting there, and we're stuck at the Baltimore airport for 5 hours.
Yeah.
He didn't even see it, and I like, here, read this, and he was like, oh my god. He just kind of like looked at me stunned after reading it. Yeah. So it's one of those, but it's really incredible, and I think, you know, man, do more comics. I love your work. I'm sad I couldn't go down to see your stuff. He recently did a tour with Kevin Izinga and Gabriel Bell, and they were at the Fantagraphic shop last weekend. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to say, like, this Fantagraphics Coconino Press has been putting out some fantastic books, and one of my favorite ones was by a guy called, his name's GP. He goes by the name GP.
G-I-P-I?
Yeah, and I thought it was GP.
GP. Let's say GP.
Anyway, it's Italian, right?
Yeah. And anyway, he did one called They Found the Car, which is it's the second volume of his stuff that's put out by Coconino, and
the first one was The Innocents.
I think it's Wish You Were Here or something is the overall story. Like, there's like, so gonna be
The Innocents and They Found the Car, they're actually connected?
I don't know. I haven't really figured that out yet. But
they seem pretty self-contained.
Yeah, they seem self-contained, but there could be more going on. And anyway, I picked them up because of the artwork, and the stories were fantastic. They were so well written, it surprised the hell out of me. So
that's The Innocents was one of my picks last time as well.
Yeah. I think me too. I think that was one I picked too.
It's put out more, and I'm going to segue. You know, we're talking about Fantagraphs and these great books. I just want to talk a couple minutes about what's going on with Fantagraphs right now. They've really stepped up, and they've always been a great publisher, but I found recently, the last couple of years, they really stepped up and saw, you know, Drawing Corley really like pushing the envelope as far as quality. Mm-hmm. And I think Fantagraphs is a step beyond Drawing Corley. Both really great publishers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, you know, Drawing Corley, they've developed into having a house style. And I think that might be a weakness for them.
Yeah, I think they do.
They have great stuff, but it's all like it's a house. It's
yeah,
a house
yeah,
look.
Yeah.
What would you characterize their house style as?
Michelle Rebliati. People.
And
like
I love Michelle Rebliati.
Really clean, maybe European influenced a little bit, and basically alternative.
Like they're all high quality books.
Yeah.
I am going to say I did read their latest book, Aya, from Drawing Corley. It was good, but it's one of those books where it's like, I felt like it was, I don't know, it could have, it's just something was missing for me, so I'm sorry, that's not going to be my top book picks of the year.
Yeah, well, I actually find that, since you mentioned Fantagraphics, I think they do have a little bit, maybe more range than Drawn and Quarterly as a publisher.
It.
Like, they actually publish a lot more alternative stuff in small forms.
They are a bigger publisher.
Yeah, they're a bigger publisher, but they experiment a little bit more, and they also bring out like these classic editions of things that we haven't seen in years. Like, they're starting to put out, I think they're doing the Popeye book, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing the Popeye.
And the Peanuts.
Who's doing Crazy Cat? Somebody's
Fantagraphics.
Fantagraphics. Yeah. Like, they're a great...
Drawing Corley, the only stuff they're doing is the Gasoline Alley, Walton Skeezix, and the Tatsumi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm bringing up Fantagraphics is because they are in a monetary crunch right now.
Again.
And I want...
Again, yeah.
Colin, there's more to it than just saying again.
Yeah. But it is. Like, they went through this before, but
they went through this before. But apparently they're dealing with, now I hope I don't get sued for this, but I've told of a man suing them. Harlan Ellison.
Name? Oh, yes.
Harlan Ellison, a toad of a man, is having issues with comments that Gary Groth made in their book that they're putting out. Or
they haven't even put out yet, as far as I know.
Yeah, all it was PDFs put on a website. But he's suing them, basically, first for a collection they did of interviews from Comics Journal, a reprint of collections with comic writers, and he was one of the people. And they put his name on the cover as one of the people, and that's what he's citing and suing, and also comments that Gary Groth made in the thing. And so he's He wants the house.
He sued them before.
Yeah. Well,
well, I know he's. Yeah, I mean, and he was involved with them in a lawsuit against Michael Fleischer years ago.
Oh,
which
right.
Which just that's about what you're yeah that of. Yeah that just yeah. about put Fantagraphics under like 20 years ago and
for an interview with Harlan Ellison where yeah. he made fun of
yeah
Fleischer.
How can you sue somebody for listing on the cover of a publication what's in the publication?
I don't know. Well, that's what they're going to go to court and find out.
You got to go online to tcj.com. And check out, like, they'll have a copy of
The Journalista has an article about that, too.
No, you go right to the website, and they'll have a copy of Harlan Ellison's The Papers He
Filed. Oh, the deposition,
crazy.
Yeah.
They're crazy. The guy's going on about how, like, Gary Groth and Kim Thompson are these maniacal puppet string pulling guys who make all this money and then go on vacations in Bahamas. Well, you know,
so he just sounds like the village idiot.
He does. He really does sound like the village idiot. Yeah. And I really like, you know, now is a good time to support a small publisher really trying to put out good comics.
Yeah, and also a comic.
It's good prices. Yeah. They're not expensive.
Well, and it's So go to their website and buy stuff from them. They ask people to buy stuff, and like they're also a company that's always fought the good fight. They fought for the First Amendment rights for like continually. They've been involved with like Comic Book Legal Defense Fund thing, donating their time.
Speaking of Legal Defense Fund, Legal Defense Fund will have nothing to do with this lawsuit.
Yeah, weird. That's weird.
They don't see it as a comics issue.
Well, they see it as a copyright infringement or something, or they see trademark, or
not even that. It's just
it's a personal vendetta.
Yeah, they're not supporting Fantagraphics, and that bothers me because Fantagraphics, without Fantagraphics, comics wouldn't be good.
Yeah, without the comics journal, comics
you
wouldn't
can
be good.
Quote me on this.
It's
without
true.
Fantagraphics,
it's
comics wouldn't
well,
be good.
Without Fantagraphics, there would have been no Love and Rockets. You know, like, and that was one of the biggest books of the 80s. Independent
pretty
books.
Much started it.
Yeah, that was it. And they put their money where their mouth is. They were critical of comics for 10 years, and then they said, to hell with this, we're going to start putting out stuff we believe in. And then, basically, they became instantly one of the best publishers in the business because they actually have integrity.
Yeah. And the thing that really like, sets them apart from other publishers, where, like, Kitchen Sink and Dark Horse have gone, and, well, Kitchen Sink's sadly gone now, and Dark Horse, they both really get into merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
Fantagraphics hasn't done merchandising.
No, not
they've got
really.
A couple of neat toys, you know.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Look, I got this awesome Enid toy, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but that's about it.
You know, I'm not going to get a shot glass with Buddy Bradley on it.
Yeah.
No, I kind of miss that, though. I mean, there was a time in the 80s where they put out really great t-shirts.
That's true. They did. They put out Love and Rocket stuff and stuff like that. Lloyd Llewellyn.
You can't get that anymore.
But that was good quality stuff. They weren't flooding the market with, you know, like a flask.
Yeah.
With
Hellboy,
you know, bitchy
on
bitch
it.
On
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Didn't they have lighters at one point?
I think
It's and it bugs me, you know. That's let's put the money into comics. Let's make money off comics being comics. And Fantagraphics, please go to Fantagraphics.com or TCJ.com. I actually donated some money last night.
Yeah, they're asking for donations or basically, and they deserve
Step
any
up,
help.
People.
Any help we can give them, we should.
And don't think that they're going to make all their money through Eros Comics, because that's wrapping up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, they... and also the misnomer that they make all their money off Peanuts. Peanuts, the first book, it sold really well.
Mm-hmm.
The second book...
I never
did okay.
I never thought
third,
that.
Third, fourth, tenth, they sell on par with the rest of their,
well,
their list.
I think only institutions like libraries are going to be able to afford to get the entire set.
Exactly. But anyway, let's get back to some of the new comics that have come out that we've been enjoying.
I'm going to say one more Fantagraphics book, just to keep on Fantagraphics.
Uh-huh.
It's a nice little art book from... It's called Neurotic, with erotic pushed up big. John Cueno, C-U-N-E-O. I'm probably horribly mispronouncing it. And it's gorgeous. It's filthy. It's nasty. And John, you are a twisted man, but... Hell of an illustrator. This one, I think, may fall... you know, under the carpet. People aren't really going to see this as much because it is a really different book for Fantagraphics to be publishing. But I think, like, it probably would have done better if it was, like, a blab book because people would see it in the same format. But it's a little book, but it's well worth getting. And remind people, if you want to check out these books, I'm going to recommend two comic stores in town, Lucky's Books and RX Comics. We'll definitely have this stuff.
And I was going to also mention Sophia's Books down on Hastings.
And Sophia's, yes. Three stores. The rest of the stores in town, I'm really, you know, I'm not going to give them props because they're, except Comic Shop. I'll say the
Comic Shop's
too.
A good store. Yeah.
But the rest just don't support the indie stuff. And that's what the Ink Sense is about. We're about the indie comics, mm-hmm. you know.
Or just great comics in
great
general.
Great comics, yeah. There is some superhero stuff I've been enjoying, and mm-hmm. I'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. But there are good superhero comics, Colin.
Yeah.
Don, go ahead. I'm done.
Okay, since you mentioned the Neurotic book, it's like a kind of a sketchbook. I was actually going to mention that the one surprise book that I got recently that I really liked was the an illustrator from that does things for The New Yorker called Peter DeSave, and he just put out the Peter DeSave sketchbook, and it is gorgeous. It looks like the most effortless cartoony doodles. And they're just fantastic, and it reminded me a lot of the Neurotic book. Like it was just
that's
a
like a
beautiful
square
packet.
Blue book with a frog on the cover.
Yeah, with the frog man on the cover.
It's a nice looking book.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, and it's like I didn't even know the guy's name before, and I think it's just like a fantastic.
The Alan Spiegel little sketchbook collection looked nice.
The which?
The Alan Spiegel Fine Arts collection.
Oh yeah, the 101 or the 108 drawings. That
yeah,
one? Yeah, that one. I was going to mention those one actually next because. Alan Spiegel Fine Arts is another company, kind of like Bonaventura, where Alan Spiegel puts out these great art books.
A lot of them aren't even by Alan Spiegel Fine Arts. A lot of stuff he sells. He's an agent. Yeah. He's an art agent.
Yeah.
But his clients are Dave McKeon, John Muth, Kent Williams.
Yeah. Mike Mignola's done stuff for him in the past. I know.
What's the one? Jamie Tullickson is one of his clients.
Yep.
So he just does. There's a certain art style that he represents.
Yeah.
And they're all excellent.
Yeah. And this year he actually put out this book called 108 Drawings that has stuff by Dave McKeon and Kent Williams and all these great artists. And he also put out a book just of Dave McKeon stuff called Postcards from Vienna, which is just like Dave McKeon's doodles when he was in Vienna. And it's just like a little book, you know, it's like 5 by 5 inches or something. It's just really beautiful. And I was also going to mention, what the hell was the other one I was going to say? Swallow. It reminded me a little bit of the Swallow books because the, what's his name? Ashley Wood?
Yeah.
Which he's got a new sketchbook out, by the way, like a big
Ashley Wood has
painting.
A new sketchbook every week.
Every week. These are like 300-page sketchbooks.
And none of them have backgrounds.
There's no backgrounds. But, you know, if you like them, you like them. But I was going to say, he's been putting out this Swallow book that's like a collection of illustrators like James Jean, Kent Williams. There's some crossovers with that sort of stuff. Phil Hale. And then there's going to be I love the last one, and the next one's going to be one of these 250-page ones, and I'm looking forward to that. It's supposed to be coming out in the next couple months. Yeah.
Great anyway. Anthologies, great collections.
Yes.
I'm just going to... Colin's sitting there with a book he wants to talk about. But I'm just going to say one quick thing before we talk about Colin's book, which has a picture of him open so we all can look at it. Mm-hmm. Kramer's Ergot Volume 6. I'm a huge fan of the Kramer's Ergot series. This one has Dan Zetchwatch, who is one of my favorite artists right now. Dan, if you're listening, I love your work. This is a collection put out by Sammy Harkham, and some of the creators in it, Ron Reyes Jr., John Porcellino, Gary Panter, Martin Cendretta, Matthew Thurber, Mark Bell, Sammy Harkham, like I said before. Great stuff. Dan Zetwatch. And Dan Zetwatch, check out his stuff. He has a great blog. Just search his name. He was in the fourth Drawn and Quarterly Showcase. He's a guy who I think will have some incredible stuff in the next couple of years. He does tons of illustrations online. His blog is one of the most informative artistic blogs I've looked at.
Oh, my God.
Hmm. Yeah, actually, I'm not a fan of this sort of naive style of a lot of these cartoonists, like people like Mark Bell. This Kramer's Ergot 6 looks fantastic, and so does the Nagadod book, which I have to mention just because I'm not a fan, like I said, of this sort of, I don't know what the
arty.
Word.
Arty?
No, it's not arty.
It's like a doodle.
It's like, yeah, it's like
doodle?
Doodling.
Doodle.
Doodling.
It's like a doodle, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it has this sort of intentional, I'm assuming amateur look to it, but the Nagadod book.
It's a nice collection.
It's a really nice collection. It's got full color sections.
And I do have an interview I did with Mark Bell and Jason McClano and Plummer about that book, which will be airing probably in May.
Yeah, because I will recommend that and this Kramer's book for being like a good
collection of this type of stuff, even and though it's not my cup of tea, but it looks good.
Well, I mean, it's not my cup of tea either, but just flipping through the book, I can see a really nice variety mm-hmm. of work.
Yeah, exactly.
Which impresses me. And also the fact that they've reprinted these Norakura comics, which was these pre-war Japanese war comics.
Yeah.
With cute little characters.
Yeah, it's a weird sort of two-color printing thing where it doesn't look like there's any black on the page. It's all blue. And
blue outlines.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
It's just a really... I mean, I've heard of it because I've read manga, but it's a really obscure part of comics history that I admire them for including in their collection.
Well, they are pretty.
And Kramer Zergot 7 is rumored to be a massive tome when it comes out. And we'll feature some Dan Clowes and Charles Burns in it.
Mm.
Ooh. Mm. So, Kramer Zergot, also Bonaventura Press stuff. Bonaventura, you guys are doing some good stuff, and I think we're going to see more good stuff by them. Colin, let's talk about your book there.
It's not my book. Mm. Well, it's a book I brought in.
And we'll probably, hopefully, do an interview for this book. So let's not talk about it too much.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that it's come out quite recently, Invaders from the North. Mm-hmm. It's by John Bell, and it's a book on the history of comics in English Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody who's interested in the subject of, you know, Canadian comics history, this is a good overview.
Yeah.
Ken
Bosom, if you're out there, this is the one to get.
It covers a lot of territory. I mean, comics have an older... history in Canada than a lot of people might think.
Yes.
So that can't cover any one thing in major detail. But like I say, it's a good overview. It draws a lot from the work he's done, I think, on the websites for the Library of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a special chapter on Chester Brown and a special chapter on the history of Canadian superheroes. So anybody who has an interest in the history of comics in Canada should pick this up.
It's got a lovely, lovely Dave Cooper cover. I know
Dave Cooper
beautiful.
Cover.
I know that Sophia Books has a copy and Lucky's Comics has a copy.
Yeah, I don't think RX. No. I don't think Aaron has one of those.
And the only other
like the books with words.
The only other quibble I have is that I would have liked to have seen more about
Colin Upton.
No, about cartoonists on the West Coast.
Yeah, actually, since you brought this up. This is a segue into one of the magazines I was going to mention that's kind of... It's for people that grew up in the 70s and like comics from the 70s and you remember them fondly. Roy Thomas, who was like he was the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics for years.
Yeah.
He
loves comics. Yeah. That man loves...
Yeah, Roy loves comics. Anyway, he still puts out his Alter Ego magazine. And the ones coming up, some of the few topics that they're going to be discussing is one is about Aquaman. So it has like one of the few interviews you'll ever see with Ramona Freyden about her stuff in the 50s. He's going to be doing one on the history of Canadian comics. A specific alter ego issue is going to be all about Canadian comic heroes from the 40s.
Oh, wow. I think they already did that.
No, I mean, they did, but they're coming up with a new one that has a whole article by John Bell, and it's got a cover by George Freeman. Yeah, so it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I have an issue of Alter Ego, which spotlights Canadian comics, including... Yeah. A story about Mr. Monster.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing another one.
Yeah, they're going to be doing another one coming up this year. Also, since I mentioned this old stuff, I'm going to say that one of the series of books that I really enjoy that they're starting to figure out is DC and Marvel have been putting out these black and white compilations of all the old stuff from the 50s and 60s. And the DC ones that they've been putting out, they put out like these great ones like Jonah Hex, the Showcase books, yeah. And the ones that they've done recently are the Ramona Freyden Aquaman stories from the 50s, which are gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. And The Phantom Stranger by Jim Aparo, which is stuff that it's never been reprinted. And they're going to actually be starting up... The next ones that they're going to be doing are the Flash, the Carmine Infantino Flash stories from the 50s. And I'm looking forward to those because they're unavailable cheap. And now you'll be able to get them for $10.
Look at that, people. Get these great comics. And
just because it's old doesn't mean it isn't still good.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the old Green Lantern Justice League stuff. That's stuff I enjoy.
Yeah, they just released volume two.
The House of Secrets reprints stuff by Bernie Wrightson, Mike Kaluta, Neil Adams.
Reed Crandall, I think,
it's
people like that.
Gorgeous stuff.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
I personally prefer that stuff in color. I'm really finicky about...
You know what? Some of the stuff I find that suffers the most from not being in color is the sort of the more iconic characters that have like
you know, Superman's red and yellow and blue, and you kind of miss that. But the characters that, like, the horror stories actually look better.
You think so?
Some of them look better in black and white. And same with the Jonah Hex ones, because these are also, a lot of the artists on them were people like Tony De Zuniga and Nestor Redondo, all these sort of Filipino artists that were more illustrators than comic book creators. So it translates well to black and white, whereas some of the old stuff doesn't.
Where they were designed to be printed in color.
They exactly. were, but a lot of them hold up really well in black and white. You'd never know that you're actually missing anything for some of them.
Hmm.
Yes. Anyway, that was one of my recommendations, is the old good stuff.
I do want to mention some of the stuff that Fantagraphics has put out as far as great art books recently. Mm-hmm. They've been doing the nice series of little smutty stuff from Bill Ward mm-hmm. and some of the other people. That's a great little book of just like little one-shot panels.
Dan DiCarlo. Bill Wenzel.
And actually, that reminds me, there's a great collection coming out soon from Craig Yao of old 50s, you know, kids comic artists doing smart.
Oh yeah. There was a lot of those guys crossed over into that.
Yeah, there.
Well, wasn't Dan DiCarlo the one of the more famous Archie?
Yeah, he started off doing pin-up sort of one panel gag strips for adult magazines in the 50s. So,
The Frank Stack Jesus Collection, New Adventures of Jesus, Second mm-hmm. Coming. Check it out for some really hard to find underground comics.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of underground comics, boys, mm-hmm. who do we gotta give props to for Sleazy Slice? It's gorgeous. Robin Bougie.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. It's on my list right there. The Cinema Sewer, the new Cinema Sewer, you got to get it. It's got a history of Vancouver's Fox Theater. It's got an interview with the guy that did Vice Squad, which is one of Bougie's top five favorite movies of the 80s. And it's just a great magazine. The new one's my favorite one so far.
Did you read the Sleazy Slice, Colin?
No, it frightened me.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. It's a Bougie's tribute to Greg Iron's Deviant Slice of the underground comics of the 70s.
Not for the faint of heart.
No, it's nasty. That man, Bougie, you've reached a new level of filth.
Yeah, more power to him. Exactly. That's what I'd like to hear. Some good, strong smut.
Speaking of which, there's also been recently released a collection of Greg Iron's comics.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Yeah, the retrospective book. I can't remember what it's called. It's Greg Iron's A Retrospective or something like that.
Was that from Fantagraphics?
It might have been. Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
Some great stuff.
Another book from Fantagraphics that I've actually found as a surprise was the Eldon Dedini book. It's the Playboy art of Eldon Dedini. And like, I've never heard of the guy. I never knew the guy's name. His name's Eldon Dedini. And You know his stuff. If you've ever seen a Playboy magazine with these watercolor cartoons of like nymphs and little satyrs running around and they're really beautiful, and the book comes with a 45-minute documentary DVD about Eldon Dedini.
I haven't watched the documentary. I flipped through the book.
It's really interesting. Nice book. It's really interesting
book. Yeah. Fantagraphics once again putting out great stuff.
Props. Yo.
You don't need an excuse to buy their books.
Yeah, exactly.
Including Let's Be Perfectly Clear by Paul Hornschmeyer. Hornschmeyer, am I pronounced properly? Paul, you are brilliant. Check out his books, Let's Be Perfectly Clear, and Mother, Please Come Home, I think it's called, book he did for Dark Horse. Both gorgeous from his Forlorn Funnies collection series. They're great. He is the next Chris Ware.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention a couple things before we
How about Colin?
Forget.
Colin, you got something else to mention before?
No.
We're like railroading.
Yeah, we're going to get through this. The Lost Girls. The Alan Moore Lost Girls.
Did you read it?
I haven't read it yet because it's a pretty pricey book, but I'm thinking of maybe getting it now that I read the Exit interview. Yeah, because I just read the Alan Moore's Exit interview came out a couple weeks ago, and it's just an interview of him talking about what he's been doing in comics and how he puts comics together. And it made me even more interested in reading The Lost Girls. So,
which apparently has gotten the Canadian government stamp of approval.
Yes, in the New Comics Journal, it mentions that the Canadian government said that it has
artistic merit.
It has artistic merit. And it's
Alan
allowed
Moore,
into the country.
He
didn't do his job. He didn't do his job. He disappointed me.
Now, Bougie, on the other hand, I don't think Sleazy Slice could make it back into the country.
Yeah.
It's a good thing it was made here.
I don't know if Bougie should go down to Seattle for the con because he might not get back in.
I don't know if we should be even talking about it.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Jesus is listening.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention a couple of other Fantagraphics collections. Moam has been excellent. I've really been enjoying Moam. The Jim Flora books are gorgeous. Really great 50s pop art.
Design
work.
Colin has something to say.
Oh, just upcoming. I'm not sure if we mentioned yet that Heavy Metal is going to be reprinting the Corto Maltese series.
Yes, starting with the first appearance of Corto Maltese, The Ballad of the Salt Sea is going to be reprinted for the first time in like 20 years.
Something like
and,
that.
And these
very hard to find collections.
Yeah, and if you're interested in like great adventure stories and maybe even a little historical because they take place around 1910, 1915, they are awesome. They are some of my favorite. They are my top favorite five comics of all time.
Of 1953.
Yeah. Oh, they're amazing comics, and hopefully they're going to have a new translation because the original NBM translations suffered somewhat.
Yeah, a little bit.
They eat balls.
While we're into the reprint thing that they're finally going to be getting stuff back into print.
Who's Swartz is coming out?
Yeah,
Schwarte.
Yeah, that's going to be a big art book. And there's also going to be a Dupuy and Barbarian book, a big one.
Yeah, a huge one.
Putting out the Jus Schwarte book?
Fantagraphics.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it's huge. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
They also have recently reprinted Batman Year One. For superhero people out there, Batman Year One is probably the only super... one of the few... superhero books I can recommend to anybody to read as like a great read. Yeah, that David Mazzucchelli.
Rumors are he has another book he's working on.
Oh, really?
Page type
rubber
blanket.
Blanket.
No, like a graphic novel.
Oh, really?
Because
he's fantastic. And this was Frank. This is stuff like Year One is the reason Frank Miller was any good. Is stuff like this. That's why people even talk about him being any good is because of this old. Some of the best stuff he did were these crime stories from the 80s.
And Dave Mazzucchelli is really... He's set a mark in comics that's been copied by many people. And if you really want to understand it, really like why Dave Mazzucchelli is so important, read Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics. And he just goes on about how like Mazzucchelli is such an impacting artist.
He's one of my top five creators of all time. I'm not being silly this time.
The thing about Mazzucchelli is that he could have had a really good career for himself in mainstream superhero comics after Batman Year One, but he chose not to.
Yeah.
He moved in a different direction.
Exactly, and he got better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His rubber blanket series are gorgeous. I've got two of the books. I got one and three.
I've got one, two, three. And he also did the Paul Auster City of Glass, which is back in print.
Which is a lot of people's favorite comic of all time.
Yeah.
It
made the Comics Journal Top 100 of all time. Yeah. And
I've got that somewhere at home. Originally released by Raw.
Raw, yeah. It was, Neon Lit, I think was the.
Raw Pantheon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I gotta make props to Art Spiegelman. I sometimes say Art do more comics, and he's been doing some stuff for a lit journal, the Virginia Quarterly Review, and they're gorgeous.
Hmm.
They are awesome.
That's what
awesome,
you said.
Awesome.
I haven't seen them yet. I'm gonna check that out.
And I mentioned the Danzett watch. Colin's holding up a book that I should mention, Ironclad. Mm-hmm. You can order it through Bonaventura Press. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. But I really want to talk about how good these Art Spiegelman stuff is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people really poo-pooed his Two Towers thing.
I thought that stunk.
His five comics in a book that's about 3 inches thick, five one-page comics.
And a bunch of reprints,
The new stuff, it's really neat. He's really getting into his head. He's going over like how he got into comics, his love of like art of Harvey Kurtzman,
mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff, like really like how he got into undergrounds and moving to New York and all sorts of stuff.
That'd be interesting.
It's really good. And like if you listen to the Jeff Smith interview, you can see how Art Spiegelman still today has a really big influence on comics, on people in comics.
Exactly.
Do you know if there's any intention of publishing these stories offline?
Well, they're in the journal. You can buy the journal.
Oh, I see.
I managed to get it through my access with school. That's how I got it.
Actually, one book I wanted two books. I wanted to get out another couple, two books before we're done out of time here.
we're just pounded through it.
Yeah. Eddie Campbell finally released another book this year. Fate of the Artist. And it was a really neat mix of comics and sort of fiction and photographs and everything. And I just love the guy. He's one of my top five of all time.
You're running out of spots.
I know, but I've got Mazzucchelli and him in there. So that's two good ones.
Hugo Pratt.
There's three, you know, and I'll stand by those ones. Also,
yeah, that's what he goes. He's one of my top five Australian artists.
Hey, Scottish. He's British.
He's one of my top five Scottish emigres.
Australia.
Yeah.
I think he's the only one.
I also was going to mention one of the best art books.
And also, just I got to say, Colin and I both very much enjoyed Fear the Artist. Just mm-hmm. to throw that in there.
Okay.
Not just
so it's not just me. Yeah. I also, this year, they released The Art of Brian Boland.
Oh, nice.
Which was a gorgeous book. If you like
a little
Brian.
Expensive.
Yeah, but it was well worth it. It's one of the most thorough art books I've ever, like, on any subject that I've ever seen. It's about 250 pages. It's an oversized hardcover, and every image, he talks about the image, where he made it, why he made it, how he did it, and any sort of information behind the creation of these things. It's such a great read.
I don't think there's been a better time for books on comics, books, yeah. graphic novels, for collections
ever.
And things.
Yeah,
ever. It's amazing the amount of quality stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, it's like this year we're running out of stuff. I don't have to go, oh, Jesus, well, should I mention that? You know,
we're actually at the end of our time.
Yeah, and I still have stuff on my list. I'm sure we all do.
I am going to say next week will be International Women's Day. I'll be playing an interview with Roberta Gregory.
Yes.
Week after
the lovely
will be
Roberta Gregory.
Lovely and talented. Week after will be Gabrielle Bell,
mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. Liz Prince the week after that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm going to put in a couple plugs, too, before we're done.
Oh, calm.
The March 18th is the Vancouver Comic Con.
Yeah.
With Kari Andrews. Dave McKaig's going to be there. Robin Thompson. You know.
People that
critical have, hit all the local dudes.
Yep, check it out.
Yeah, it should be fun. And actually, at the end of the month, if anybody's interested, they're having the big Emerald City Con in Seattle, and they're going to have Tim Sale and Kurt Busiek, Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in Star Wars, is going to be there. Michael Golden, a rare
Howard
appearance. Howard Chaykin. It's going to be a pretty fun time.
I will be there as well as Dawn. Will be there. Robin Bush will be there. We'll be there.
At the Vancouver Comic Con table, so come and say hi.
I'll be there buying comics.
Yeah, so why? But
actually,
anyway.
I'll probably only be there for the first hour because I think I don't know. Is Aaron going to get a table?
I don't know.
You know. Okay, Ink Studs. Thank you for listening, everyone. Up next, Crimes and Treasons. Any last words, Colin?
Read.
Yeah.
And you know what? The library has a lot of good books too.
Yes.
The library actually has an astonishing amount of good comics.
The Burnaby Library is fantastic. They have the whole Buddha series. They got all sorts of stuff.
Oh, the Buddha stuff. That I should have mentioned that.
It's the only library I've seen that actually has not only a comic section but a graphic novel
yes.
section separately.
Yeah, it's not like
it's not mixed in with
Herman.
It's not mixed in with the how to do watercolor books.
Yeah, and yeah. Garfield.
Okay, up next, Crimes and Treasons. People, comics are great. www.inkstuds.com.
Yeah, we're bumping on, baby. This is the world's funkiest sing-along. Sing!
R-U-B-B-E-R-F-A-M-S. Rubber fans. And funketeers.
Somebody been sleeping with my phone. Funk around, funking with until they funk it up. Sing! Oh.
Pure Nevada.
One of these good old days, these days. I wanna fuck with you.
One day you're